Blog Talk you, Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I'm so excited that you have joined me on today, and I just look forward to having just another beautiful time in the Lord on this evening. So welcome home. Come on in. Make yourself right at home. Truly, this is the evening or the day that the Lord have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad therein. I tell you, we have another exciting program that's going to be all ready for you on this evening, and I know without a shadow of a you're going to be tremendously blessed. And I just want to say I welcome all of my friends and covenant prayer partners throughout the world there in the Philippines, all the way in Uganda, Africa, and India, and everyone here in the United States. We want to say we welcome you aboard on this evening. Again, our program on tonight or today is going to be on spiritual authority. We're going to be looking at the authority which God has given unto his people. We're going to be looking, our scripture reference is going to be found over in 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10, verses number 1 through verse number 8. The focus thought for tonight, today, is going to be God has given spiritual authority and defensive power to those who propagate the gospel through the ministry. So we're going to be exploring tonight and looking at the power that God has given unto the church for the spiritual authority. So let's look at our scripture on today. It's over in, again, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses number 1 through 8. So grab your Bible. We're going to read this in your hearing on tonight. It reads, "Now I pray, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in present am based among you, being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," here it is, child of God, "but is mighty through God to pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations and high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on the things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed." Now, let's radio land. Let's take a look here. And let's take a look at verse number 8. Because this is where we're going to be focusing our text around on tonight, is verse number 8. It says, "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given us for edification, not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed." So on today, what we're going to be looking at and focusing on is we're going to be talking about humility and authority in warfare. Then we're going to be looking at spiritual warfare, as well as the delegated authority, gaining God's approval, and then self-condemnation is not wise, God's standards and measure of service. And we're going to look at those things on tonight and things as looking at what God has given to us as children of God. We must recognize we are blessed beyond measure, and we want to operate in that delegated authority in which God has given unto his people. Now, let's take a look here. those who labor for God are co-workers with him and helpers to all fellow believers. In every institution, there must be leadership with clear lines of established authority. Further, there should be honor and respect for offices of leadership. In the military, from the privates to the general, there is a chain of command. In the Navy, from seamen to admiral, there is responsibility and superiors. Organization has presidents, general managers, store managers, department managers, and clerks. It is imperative that each person fulfill his specific responsibility and follow the direction of the supervisor. This makes for a harmonious working relationship and facilitate effective, efficient organization for the operation of businesses. In the Church of Jesus Christ, God has instituted offices of responsibility that plan, direct, and focus the work of God. God has given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers who function as the leadership of his church. And we'll find that over in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians let us know that verses number 4, chapter 4, verses number 11 through 12. Further, he has given those office for the work of the ministry, for the perfection of the saints, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Ideally, all believers become part of the management by working in harmony with those whom the Lord places in authority over them. By active participation and by wise delegation of responsibility, we can all work in unity and in love to accomplish the Great Commission. And we'll find that over in Mark chapter number 16, verses 15 through 16. Now, when we look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, the Apostle Paul discussed some of these matters that pertained to the authority of the ministry. He illustrated the place of responsibility ministers hold in relationship to the church. If the church is to move forward as a mighty army for Christ, we cannot move as a mob. Rather, we progress only when we operate as cohesive, collected group of dedicated individuals. Further, these individuals must be motivated to recognize God's given leadership, respect spiritual authority, and use spiritual weapon to engage in spiritual warfare. Only then can we experience victory against the forces of evil arrayed against us and enjoy ultimate triumph. Now, Paul, he was the founder of the church at Corinth. As much, he exercised a strong authority and influence over the activity and the progress of the church. Also, he was the leader of the Gentile churches of the first century. And the Corinth was one of the primary center of responsibility. Moreover, Paul had hoped to use Corinth as a springboard for other endeavor to establish other churches in the area around and beyond Corinth. At the time of this epistle, Paul was dealing with a problem with respect to spiritual authority within the church at Corinth. Men whom Paul did not recognize as apostles were claiming authority there. And he wrote this chapter in particular to deal with the matter of spiritual authority at Corinth. Now, let's look here as we're examining the text on today. Humility and authority in warfare. Now, let's take a look at that about humility and authority when it comes to spiritual warfare or authority in warfare. Now, let's look at Paul's entreaty, how he entreated the people, his entreaty. Paul began his discourse with a reference to the meekness of Jesus Christ. Paul did not wish to place the man on the Corinthians, so he began with an entreaty to them. Moses was called the meekest man in all the earth, but God put him in charge of the Israelites to deliver his people out of Egypt. There were times that Moses was angry with them, but he was their leader and he knew how to command and face opposition. When God was angry with the people and wanted to destroy them, it was Moses who pleaded with God until God spared them. Now, spiritual leaders should not be arrogant or proud or demanding, but through the exercise of wise leadership, they lead the people and resist the enemy's attack. Paul also mentioned the gentleness of Christ. Jesus Christ knew how to be gentle. Still, when he found the temple polluted on two occasions, he took a whip of cords and drove the merchandisers out of the temple. We should recognize that Christian love and gentleness that leaders possess and also understand their responsibility to guard and protect the treasurer of faith. For this reason, the writer of Hebrews admonished to remember them who have rule over them. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, that they may give an account. And we must recognize, child of God, that every watchman or watchwoman that God has placed over the body, they have to give an account for your soul. And the Bible admonishes us to obey them who have the rule over us and submit yourself. It is important for us to recognize that we must submit ourselves to that authority. And once we submit ourselves to the authority, you will see the blessings of the Lord falling down in your life just because you obeyed and your obedience. Now, Paul mentioned that when he had been present with the Corinthians, some consider him base in his presence, but in his writing to them about problems in the church, he intended to be bold. A spiritual leader is a meek person, gentle, and Christ-like in his spirit towards people. But as a leader, they sometimes must reprove, must rebuke, and instruct those who they need their guidance. You will see that over in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 2. Paul recognized that in his bold approach, some would think he was walking according to the flesh, but he had a God-ordained responsibility to fulfill them. Spiritual leaders do not desire to be forceful, but about doctrine or about moral or even about church discipline. They would gladly deal with people through meekness, gentleness, and humility if possible. Still, they exercise authority in whatever ways feasible to fulfill their responsibility before God. Now, a minister endeavors to exercise restraint in using the authority given to them by God in dealing with people. However, they must be diligent to use spiritual authority when necessary in order to deal with and conquer the supernatural forces that war against the church. Now, we must recognize that when the forces of darkness comes up against the church, the leader of that church must exercise that authority so that it can come against the wells of darkness, the wells of the adversary that's coming up against the church. Now, let's take a look here at another point is about the spiritual warfare. Now, Paul was clear that we do not war after the flesh. A minister is limited in their ability with dealing with spiritual opposition. He cannot cut off the ear as Peter did. his only sword is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Ephesians 6 and 17. Now, that's why it's important and it's expedient for us as children of God, for us to stay in the word of the Lord, because that is the sword. Now, when you find the adversary fighting against you, now, we can't go, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We cannot use fist fighting against an individual, but what we have to do, child of God, we must take the sword, which is the sword, the word of God, and come against the adversary, because it's the sword of the Spirit. Rather than using physical weapons of the carnal warfare, Jesus appealed to his followers to take up the cross and follow him. The battle that we're fighting today is not a fleshly battle. It is a spiritual conflict. We are in that spiritual warfare that is coming up against the church. And God is calling us back to the wall, back to the prayer room, back to filling up with the word of God so that we can speak the word. And I come to tell you, child of God, that you got to get this word hid down in your heart. Because it's going to come a time where it's going to take just the word that is within us. Spend time sitting at the feet of Jesus, reading the word, eating the word, and watch God profoundly bless you and give you the ultimate victory that God is requiring and calling for us, that he ordained for the church to have. I hear the Bible saying a word that's coming in my spirit right now. It said the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, but the violent take it by force. Those that know the word of God will come boldly in the word, speaking the word, using the sword of the Spirit against the adversary. I feel the power of God. In spite of our intense desire to bring people to salvation in Christ Jesus, we can only seek to persuade them, 2 Corinthians 5:11, not force them. It is true that Jesus said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, Luke 14:23. However, we are limited to the use of compelling spiritual warfare weapons. We are not struggling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And you'll find that over in Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 11 through 12. We must put on the whole armor of God. Now, some of us, now, and sometimes we only put on just the helmet, but the Bible admonishes us to put on the whole armor, and just not on some days, but every day, put on the whole armor, the helmet, the breastplate, the shield, taking the shield of righteousness and things, and the shield of faith and things, our feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel. We got to put on the whole armor of God. And Paul said, the scripture says, put on the whole armor of God, which provides us with spiritual armament, not physical weapons. Our enemy is the devil, Satan himself, who goes about seeking whom he may devour. Paul wrote that the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Though we are not, do not have military weapons, our weapons are mighty weapons. Further, Paul explained that they are able to cast down strongholds. And don't you know, child of God, there are strongholds that are coming against the church. And we as the body of Christ, we got to put on the whole armor of God. We got to use the spiritual weapons to cast down every stronghold. Stronghold of poverty, stronghold of lack, casting it all down. God's mighty weapons are able to break strongholds of the mind. He casts down stronghold pretensions, ambitions, arguments that have taken over the minds of individuals. And see, we must recognize sometimes that is the greatest battlefield in things is the mind, casting down those imaginations that are soaring itself above the knowledge of God. You're not going to go down. The Bible said that we are overcomers. And we must recognize that I'm an overcomer. And when the enemy trying to come in like a flood with doubt and perplexity, we got to speak the word and say, I am an overcomer. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We got to put the word on the devil and speak the word in the atmosphere. And watch, the Bible said that the word of God has gone out of his mouth and is not going to return unto him void, but it's going to accomplish that wherein which it has been sent. And so I come to tell someone, send the word. I don't know, bullshit. Send the word. Send the word out. Hallelujah. It's nigh thee, even in your mouth. Open up your mouth and speak the word of God. Sometimes what's happening while you're not seeing results, because you're sending your words. But God said, no, open the Bible. Take the sword out. Speak my word. It's already filled with power, created power that will bring forth, that will not return void. So send forth the word of God. Come on and shout hallelujah. I feel the power of God even right now, child of God. You send forth the word of God. Now let's look here. The Bible says, someone said, you are what you think. The devil has filled the mind of people with rock music, different type of things, false doctrines, false superstition, and a whole lot of other things. But when God breaks the stronghold of the mind, he replaced the garbage with scripture. He replaced the idle words with songs and sermons and testimony and wholesome thoughts of families and friends and the love of God until the mind becomes the stronghold of God. Come on and just shout hallelujah. I just feel the power of God and the blessing of the Lord. We must recognize that there are demons who were responsible for many maladies that Jesus corrected. They caused many physical affliction by oppressing and possessing individuals. There is a spirit that works in the children of disobedience, and we can find that over in Ephesians 2:2. And that's why it's so important that you cannot afford to operate in the spirit of disobedience. With God calling you to go to the house of the Lord and you refuse to go to church and you refuse to and making all kind of excuses of not being there, guess what? That's disobedient. And that's blatantly disobedient. Instead of saying, no, I know I need to be in the house of the Lord, I'm going to the house of God, because there is a spirit of the enemy that will work in the child of God who is operating in disobedience. And so you got to recognize the word of God is true, child of God. When we go forth to minister, we are not facing swords and guns, but we're facing these enemies that are invisible, internal, and spiritual. The weapons of our warfare are able to bring every enemy of our mind and soul into captivity and to give us power to take control of the reasoning process and thought that cause so much trouble. The scripture instructs us that as a person thinking in their heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. And you know, when we use the word he, that means both he and she. As you think it, so are you. We need to fill our minds with good thoughts, with the word of the Lord. And we know the scripture states over in Philippians, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, Philippians 4:8. That's what the scripture says. Now, let's shift for just a moment and let us take a look here at another aspect. Let's take a look here at the delegated authority. The scriptures are very clear that the pastor is the shepherd of the church and that he or she is there to feed, lead, and guide and protect the flock of God. However, God did not intend it for the pastor to do all things and to do all things in the church or to be all things. God has set every member in the body as it pleased him. The human body is comprised, as we know, of many members, each of which have its own unique and important function. Now, we'll find that over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 21. Now, let's take a look here. Every member of the body of Christ is unique and important. Now, even as I tell the saints, the precious saints, even your small toe, your little toe, that's all scrunched up against all of the rest of the toes. Now, that toe is very significant. You can look at it and you say, now, man, it really don't look like it has any significance or does anything. But that is the thing that provides the equilibrium of the body that's keeping it in balance and things. And so even the smallest of a piece or individual may think that they have no significance in the body of Christ, which they do. Everyone has significance in the body of Christ. It said every member of the body of Christ is unique and important, and it is God's will and way for the church to be constructed into the building of a lively stone. Individual members should grow into a holy temple of the Lord where the visible body of Christ functions with every joint supplying benefit to the whole. Now, one of the things that I have in our church is that it's called every joint supplying. And this is a piece that God had given to me for the body of Christ there at Shekinah. And what I look at over the flock is every joint, is everybody supplying something into the body of Christ. And so as the shepherdess of the church there at Shekinah Glory Tabernacle, I'm constantly looking to see, to make sure everybody is involved in ministry. Everybody is involved in paying their tithe, giving the offering, because it's God's divine will for every joint be supplying to the body of Christ. And you'll see that over in Ephesians 2 and 21, verse also chapter number 4 and verse 16. We must recognize that we must bring the supplies to the body of Christ in the house of God, providing praise and worship. If you're on the praise and worship team, add that you supplying to the joint there. If you are part of the musicians there, you are supplying. When you bring your gift and talent, you are supplying to the joint of that particular function in the body of Christ. Even if you are a deacon, the prophetess, the teacher, and the evangelist, we all should be supplying to the body of Christ. To that joint, every joint is supplying. The New Testament is very forthright about declaring the authority of the minister who labor in the word and doctrine. 1 Timothy 5 and 17. The Holy Ghost make the elders of Ephesus overseers of the church. Acts 20, verse 17 and verse number 28. Paul wrote concerning the elders taking the oversight of the flock of God, 1 Peter 5 and 2. Moreover, believers are to obey those who have rule over them and submit themselves, Hebrews 13 and 17. However, there is also an important place for delegated authority. Now, let's take a look here. The delegation of authority in commonplace in the military, the structure provides that the highest ranking person become the de facto leaders of the group when other leaders are no longer present. Such was the case in World War II, actually World War I, when Sergeant Elvin York, who who became the most decorated soldier in the war. York took over his unit and turned a disaster into victory after all his commanding officers were killed in the battle. And so we as children of God, we must take authority over the areas in which God has given unto us as children of God in things, because God has given us authority. Now let's take a look. Just even in our own home, we as children of God, we need to take authority from the front door to the back door. Everything is moving around in the house. You should take authority over that and things, and let the devil know. You know, I just walk to my front door and I just lay my hand on my front door and decree that no wicked things will cross my threshold and things, nothing but the righteous and that which is holy and things. And if anything come in across that threshold, it would have to come subject to the power and the authority of God. I mean everything, even if it's a dog, I don't care what it is, everything has to come up under authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we as children of God, you have that authority over your children, over everything. You need to take authority over your finance, take authority over your mind, take authority over your body, take authority over everything. Stand at the windows and say, I've taken authority. This house belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as the psalmist has written, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so here, even when Gideon led his men into the battle, God reduced his army until he was left with only 300 men. With the select group, Gideon won a mighty battle. However, he did it through delegated authority by giving to every man a lamp, a sword, and a pitcher, and careful instruction. He placed them in position and said, now, do as I do. They all blew their trumpets, they broke their lamp, and shouted, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, as Gideon has instructed them. It was then that they won a mighty victory. God used Gideon's leadership and his men's obedience to defeat the enemy. It is a mistake for the preacher to take all authority to himself. They need to exercise wisdom and leadership and a position, a positive example as delegating authority to fellow believers. One of the functions of the ministry is for the perfecting of the saints. To that regard, proper delegation requires appropriately equipping the believers for their delegated duties. When we can equip the believers through teaching and training by precepts and example until they become effective workers for the kingdom of God. Every church can use people who have a burden for children, teenagers, young adults, young married people, singles, families, and senior citizens. They can learn to teach home Bible studies, a Sunday school class, a children's church, a vacation Bible school. They can help in ushering and operating a nursery and conducting church dinners or performing building and ground maintenance or cleaning. Most of all, they can become witnesses, prayer warriors, personal workers, service leaders, and musicians and singers involved in worship service. The wise man of God or woman of God will share their authority by empowering the members of the church with authority they need to be effective in various positions of ministry. The minister will learn, like Moses, that they can't do it all by themselves and without help. They will find themselves sufficient enlargement by recognizing the suspicion or the significance in others. And so what is stating that we as leaders need to look upon that which God has given us and see the significance that God has placed in each and every one that is in the body of Christ. Everybody that God have placed in the body has significance, and they should have the delegated authority to operate and execute the will that God has called them out to do. And so, child of God, God is raising up an army throughout this world. Oh, yes, he is. I see it. God is using all kind of vehicles. He's using the internet. He's using the iPod. He's doing the using the MP3 to get the gospel out unto his people. And I don't know about you, but I plan to be in this end time move of God. God is moving quickly and rapidly throughout the land. I hear the scripture say that we do, we must do it quickly. We must do it quickly because God is soon to come. I shared with the household of faith. I said, I can hear the hoofmen of the horsemen coming to town. And we as children of God, we got to be about our Father's business. Amen. And be out there and be the watchmen and watchwomen that God has called us to do. Amen. The Bible said, work while it's day, because night cometh and no man, no woman will be able to work. And so I admonish you, child of God, and I encourage you on tonight to get up, be about your Father's business. Amen. Now, let's look at another point here. Now, and I want to say I thank God for each and every one of you that are here on today, that are gathered today. I really appreciate you here with us. But I want us to look here at a couple of other points and things, and then we're going to have some warfare at the end of the session, and I want you to touch and agree. We're going to touch and agree. We're going to bring down some strongholds, and we're going to break the back of the devil. We're going to call the release over the children of God and ministries to go forth in the power of God. Now, let's look here, because let's look at gaining God's approval. It is wrong. It's not wrong to strive for excellence. Like unto the motto of that they use even in the army, we should do all we can do to be the best that we can be. Now, one of the things that I believe that we as children of God, we must be, if you're going to be the preacher, I admonish you, be the best preacher. And purpose it in your heart, Lord, I want to be the best that I can be. If you're going to be the teacher, be the best teacher that you can ever be. If you're going to be the prophet, be the best prophet or be the best prophetess that the whole worldwide has ever seen, and watch God going to do it in and through your life. If you're going to be the best, if God's giving you the gift of the laying on the hand, God, I prepare me, give me the words, give me the scripture that I can speak and send your word forward. Many of you have heard me share my testimony about my husband and things, and I just feel led and prompted the Holy Ghost just to share it again. It was back on August the 26th, 07, and things. We had got to the office there at church, and the Lord just laid it down in my spirit to fall on my knees and pray. I was there in my office, and I just fell on my knees and pray, and I just felt in the spiritual realm. I smelled death. I smelled it in my office, and I said, oh, Lord, what is that stench that I smell? And it was a certain spot in my office that I smelled this death, and I just fell on my face and cried out to God, and I prayed, and I called my husband before all the saints got there, and we began to pray, and I said, let's pray and cover the saints and things. And lo and behold, child of God, when the service began to progress on, and then my husband, we had taken the offering up, and he went back in the back room and was taking care of some business back there, and we heard this thump and something falling. And so I sent my assistant. She went back into the office, and she seen my husband down on the floor and things, struggling for his life. And, oh, child of God, I don't know about Shekinah. I'm talking about seeing God raising someone from the dead right before my eyes. I took the name of Jesus by the power and the authority that was invested in me, calling on that matchless name of Jesus, and I called death to loose his grip in the name of Jesus. And we, as the children of God, we've seen God miraculously raise my husband up from the dead. And I come to tell you, child of God, that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, too hard for God. And before we leave this air, we're going to pray for the mothers. We're going to pray for everybody that is sick even on tonight, because I believe in that name of Jesus, there's power, there's dunamis in that power. But let's look here. There's some things that we must recognize. And one of the things that I want to talk about real quickly, before our time is quickly moving, self-condemnation. Sometimes we condemn ourselves. Sometimes we're hard on ourselves. Sometimes we disqualify ourselves. And I want to talk about that for just one moment and things, because sometimes we even get in the trouble of saying that, you know, that's just the way I am. But here it says, sometimes there's a tendency to make the wrong judgment when we evaluate our own accomplishments. And so, child of God, we cannot evaluate our own accomplishment. The one who has low self-image sometimes lacks the inner confidence to and say, I'm not very good, or I just don't, or do anything very well. Many people are so intimidated by their feelings of worthlessness that they write themselves off of all of the effort as being insignificant or inferior. And we, as children of God, we should not entertain, or we should not engage in that type of thoughts or behavior. Or when you find yourself, or if you found yourself dealing in that, we'll deal with that at the end of the show, because we're going to pray. We need to cast that stuff down and rebuke that spirit and say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, let's take a look and examine, like I shared about my testimony about my husband, and I call him the miracle man, and see, had I begin to succumb to what I've seen and allow emotions to set in, then I would not have been able to operate up under the authority of God. I had to stand fat-footed, look death in his eyes, and tell death, you will not prevail. I command you to loose your hold. You will not take my husband out of here. And I spoke to his whole body part. His musculoskeletal system had to obey the name of Jesus. His lip nose, his respiratory system, every body part had to obey. Every part of God, it had to obey the word of the Lord. And so we, as children of God, we must recognize that we cannot engage in that, but we got to stand fast in holding forth on the word of the Lord. Now, this here is so good in things. We often sometimes misjudge when we attempt to measure ourselves by those who are around us. If our neighbor is not doing a good job, or we're doing as well as they are, then we could be satisfied by saying, at least I'm doing as well as they are. This kind of measurement is erroneous and misleading. It leads us into a trap. And so we cannot measure ourselves by other people, because what's going to happen, we're going to find ourselves being in a trap. We're trapping ourselves in, as opposed to allowing God to flow in our life. If you have the sense of humor, God's going to take that sense of humor and use it for his glory. He's going to allow the spirit of laughter to fall down on you for a reason. And you know why? Because the scripture said, a merry heart doeth good, just like medicine. So he can take your sense of humor and use it as a weapon against the enemy and medicine to someone's broken heart and render healing through your laughter. And so because you're not like so-and-so Sister Wallamillon, if we want to use that tonight, or Sister Cantaloupe and things, who is moving forward in her ministry in that way, don't measure yourself like that. You measure yourself in the Word of God, and allowing God to use all of the giftings that you have, because God created you the way he wanted you to be created, child of God. And so when you give yourself wholly back into the hand of God, God's going to use your gift. Because the Bible said your gift will bring you before, make room for you, and bring you before great men. And so as you begin to cultivate that, now sometimes people have the gift to get up and they begin to minister, and they have the beautiful gift of singing and things, and if that's not your area, then, you know, you flow in that which God has given unto you. Maybe you are a worshiper, and you'll break forth in that worship to break down the stronghold that the Word of God can penetrate through the hearts and the minds of people. Watch God do that. Now, I know my time is sufficient. It's getting ready to run out, but I want to do some things a little different than I normally have been doing. But I want us to take some prayer requests, and I see some prayer requests that have come up on the screen, and the prayer requests that maybe you have on tonight or today, whenever you're listening to this particular broadcast. I want you to know that the God in which we serve, God is able. As we stand in the authority and stand in the Word of God and things, even as God has scaled back Gideon, sometimes it looked like God, why is I'm losing so much? Why is so many things are being taken away from me? I'm going to open the air real quick and take some prayer requests, and we're going to go before God. I just feel the anointing of God. Hello?
Yes, good morning, woman of God. This is Minister Rosalind Jennings on the Power Forgiveness Show. How you doing?
Yes, God bless
this morning?
You. I'm blessed in you.
Thank you, woman of God. I would like, just for us to touch and agree, not only for my mother, Maxine, that's in the hospital out there in the Bronx, New York, my three brothers, Gabriel, Troy, Kevin, and Derek Bates Jr., for favor in their court case and protection and just for early release. And just for me, just for God to open doors for me as far as the Power of Forgiveness ministry as well.
Okay. And we're going to touch and agree, and we're going to believe God and things. And I just feel that there's just a special anointing on tonight, and that God is going to do it and grant it for you. And all I want you to do is just provide God with the faith to believe. Just like I shared my testimony about my husband, how the enemy tried to attack. And I think God is able, daughter. I just want to encourage your heart to hold fast. Mm-hmm. We're going to pray for your brother, and we're going to pray for, if you said it was your mother too, as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Maxine, we're going to lift her up and things in prayer. And I just wanted to just want you to be just in the spirit, because the Bible said for us to touch and agree. And I want us just to touch and agree. And I just wanted to open it up for just one moment. If there's any other ones that have requests and want to come on air right now, I just want you to call in and things. I pray that you got the number. If you want me to speak that, it's 646-378-1469. Again, 646-378-1469. And we're going to touch and agree, and we're just going to believe God. Now, these are the names: Gabriel, Troy, Kevin, and Derek. Okay. Things. Oh, mm-hmm. And so we're going to believe God, and we're just going to touch and agree. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If there's no other prayer request, then let's go before the Lord of God. Gracious Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost. Lord, we take this time to bind the devil right now and to bind every forces and bind every attack that will come against the child of God. Right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, by the power that is invested in me, Lord, we come and we decree, Lord, that your sovereign will be done. Father, right now, Father, we take this time in the name of Jesus to give you all the praise and give you all the glory that do unto your name. Lord, you are the righteous Savior, Lord. You are the God that have all power in your hand. God, you can do all things but fail, Lord. And oh God, we come right now, look unto the hill from which cometh our help. Our help come from you who have made heaven and earth. Oh God, you will not suffer our foot to be moved, Lord. We recognize that he that keepeth Israel will not sleep, nor will you slumber. And oh God, we come, Lord, on behalf, oh God, Gabriel, Lord, Troy and Kevin, Lord. We come on behalf of Derek Bates Jr., oh God, even, Lord, for the power of forgiveness ministry, Lord, for, oh God, Pearl Bates, Lord, and the transitional project, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, dear God, we ask, oh God, for favor, Lord, in the name of Jesus, even, Lord, for protection, dear God. Oh God, you're able to open every door, dear God. Father, what the enemy meant for evil, dear God, we ask, oh God, that you would turn it around for their good in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost, dear God. Father, we ask, oh God, that you will overthrow every plan of the enemy, every sword and sword that have been sworn and drawn against your people, dear God. Put them to shame, dear God, and confound the enemy, Lord. Let the counsel of the enemy, Lord, be fallen unto the ground and turn back in confusion. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the wind of the drive out the chaff, Lord, in the name of Jesus, dear God, and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost, dear God. Father, walk in the courtroom, Lord. Be, oh God, the judge. Lord, set your will down in the heart of the judge, dear God, in the name of Jesus, dear God. Father, we send your word forth, Lord, and we send favor, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. And oh God, use your daughter, Lord, for your glory. Raise up the ministry, Lord. Let your anointing fall in the name of Jesus. Break and destroy every yoke, dear God. Beat back the hellhounds, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you see, Lord, even her mother, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask, oh God, that you would touch her, Lord, and that you will heal her body. Raise her up, oh God, fast, quick, and in a hurry, Lord, from the crown of her head down to the sole of her feet. Lord, move in her esophagus, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Restore her ability to speak, dear God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, from the crown of her head down to the sole of her feet, we declare your healing virtue, dear God. We send your word all the way there, Lord, and heal, Lord. And we thank you, dear God, for the report, dear God. Break the stronghold, Shatara Bosham, and destroy every yoke and band, Lord. And Father, we thank you, dear God. Father, we give you the glory. We give you the honor, Lord. We pray, oh God, that your sovereign and your holy will be done tonight in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost, dear God. Stretch forth your hand. Move by your power divine. Undergird your people, Lord. Work a miracle, Lord, like you did for my husband, Lord. You're no respecter person, and Father, we thank you, and we give you the glory, oh God, oh God, in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now, Father, Lord, I set courage in the hearts of your ministers, Lord. I set, Lord, boldness, Lord. I speak it into their spirits tonight, oh God, that you use their tongue as a pen of a ready writer, dear God. Undergird them, fortify them. Lord, make them a lover of your word and a lover of your presence, oh God, and we'll praise your blessed name. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Glory,
and I just want to say welcome to all of our callers on tonight. I truly thank God for you joining and things. If you want to share your name and things and where you're calling from and things, please share. I can't hear you. Can you speak a little louder?
It's me. I'm still on the line holding Minister Roslyn. Jennings.
Okay, Minister Roslyn. Okay, and where are you from, Minister Roslyn?
Oh, sure. I'm in Tempe, Arizona.
Oh, okay. God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you, too. And where you at?
I'm in Renton, Washington, up by Seattle, Washington.
Oh, praise God. When my brother comes home, that's where he's going, to Seattle.
Oh, is that right?
I heard it's beautiful out there, and they have a lot of programs to help people get back, you know, get back on their feet and get themselves
together.
Oh, good
for you. Oh, good. Bless you.
When he comes home, I'm believing in God. He'll be home this year. Gabriel.
Oh, good.
Come home.
We're going to believe God for all. And I want to say greetings to Evangelist Lindsay as well, and from the Words of Grace program. And things we want to say, we thank God for you all, too, as well. We're so excited about God and what God is doing. And I thank God for the woman of God that I was able to have an opportunity to talk with here on tonight, Minister Jenkins, I believe it is, and things all the way from Arizona. We're excited about God for you. But I want to encourage you all as women of God tonight. And I just want to just say, you hold fast to what God is calling you to do and to ponder it even in your heart, even if it sometimes seems as though that people don't want to receive what God is doing in and through your life. I just want to say it's about you and God and things as you hold it dear in your heart, because the vision is going to speak and things. The Bible said that your gifts and our calling and things, that our gift is going to make room for us and it's going to bring us before great men. And so I just want to encourage you as you are in preparing and in that posture that you're waiting on God, continue to store up and continue to move forward in the things of God and watch God just overtake you and bless you and things, because there's a great and effectual door that's getting ready to open unto you, because God honors faithfulness and you've been faithful. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I just feel the prophetic word saying that God has been faithful. You have been faithful to God, and God is getting ready to open up some greater doors unto you and things. And just be thou encouraged, because God is doing it, and he's going to work it out. I pray that this session has been a blessing unto you. Normally, I'm on during the daytime, and the Lord laid it in my heart to come on this evening and things and change our time. Normally, I'm on at 10 o'clock in the morning, but God laid it in my heart to be on tonight. And I just want you to know that God is blessing his people and things. Did you have anything else you want to share? We can still just talk. I think we'll still have time even after we go off of the air and things. If anyone wanted just to share anything. Amen. Amen. If not, I want to say I thank and praise God for each and every one of you for coming in and tuning in on today. I just want you to know that if you don't have it, God got it. And you're just one prayer from your miracle. All you have to do is ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock. And the Bible said the door shall be open unto you. And if you don't have it right now, go back and ask God, or keep seeking God, or go back and knock on that door again and watch God overtake you and bless you, child of God. I pray that you have been blessed, and I'm going to look forward to seeing about maybe coming on maybe sometime more in the evening time to meet with the beautiful women of God as we just lift up the name of Jesus. I want you to be encouraged. I just feel your spirits and hearts, and that God is doing something great. Just be encouraged and know that all this hell is not for naught, but God is working something far greater than you can even imagine in your mind of the doors that's getting ready to open unto you, child of God. God is doing it. So take heart. If you've thrown in your towel, I want to say before I go off this air on tonight, you go back and get that towel and go back and do it all over again. And watch God.
Radio.
Watch God bring it to pass and overtake and bless you, child of God, because the God in which we serve, he's able. You lay hold and hold fast to the word of the Lord. And don't you dare come down, and don't you dare give up. If anything, go back and pray again and watch God move on your behalf. So email me. Let me know how the family's doing. I'd like to hear the testimony of what God is doing. Email me. Let me know what time your shows come on, that perhaps that we can get in come on or listen to you and in tune, but definitely know that I will definitely be praying with you. And if you get a chance to go and rate the show, please take a moment to rate the show. I want you to know we love you, and may God richly, richly bless you is my prayer.